welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. It's good to be back again with you. And as I was seeking the Lord's direction for what He would have me share today and subsequently, He took me to the book of Jonah, and there's some very interesting and pertinent lessons I believe we can all learn and apply to our own lives. And of course, this book of Jonah is a familiar and popular one with the children because, of course, this is a story of a man who was swallowed alive by a great fish, some say a whale, and this narrative by unbelievers and by the world, they ridicule it as a myth, and even some scholars regard it just as a legend or a parable. But we can understand through the words of Jesus by the Gospels that it was a literal historical fact, that Jonah was indeed a literal historical character. In 2 Kings, the 14th chapter, verse 25, we see and read a reference to him where the word of the Lord says there, Jeroboam restored the border of Israel according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher. And even more significantly, Jesus himself referred to the Jonah account as being factual. Let me share with you a couple references in the gospel. First of all, there's Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 29 and 30, which reads, "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say," that's Jesus, of course, "this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." There's another reference in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 through 41, which I'll read. Again, this is referring to Jesus. "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Amen. Even the very Son of God and Son of Man. So with the Lord's help, we're going to look at the book of Jonah. And before we do that, let's just join our hearts in prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to share your good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the message of the kingdom to this generation. And Father, I pray for everyone who's listening. Lord, those who may have had a difficult day, those who are facing serious decisions, those who have been embattled, oppressed by the work of the enemy, even through loved ones. Father, I come against the work of the enemy, and Lord, I release your anointing to destroy every yoke of oppression, every yoke of unrest, anxiety, of fear, of torment. And Lord, I thank you right now for your peace, which passes all understanding. Thank you for the joy and the blessing we have for these few minutes each day to join together in the Spirit of the Lord, where, Lord, we not only meditate and share your word, but we allow your Spirit to touch us, to minister to us. And Lord, I'm asking you to do that for every listener. You know there are several, their particular needs. And Lord, according to the riches of your glory, according to the greatness of your love and mercy, overshadow them with your love. Let them feel your presence and let them know they're not walking alone through battles, but that you are with them. You are the God of their salvation. And they just need to stand still and see the salvation of our God while you fight their battles. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, I also ask you to anoint the word that we share. And Lord, let it be relevant and pertinent to our lives, not just interesting facts of a historical scenario, but Lord, lessons that we can apply to our own lives for your glory and for the maturing of the body of Christ. Amen and amen. Well, let me share with you a few historical facts. The book of Jonah was written approximately in the 8th century BC when Amos and Hosea were prophesying, and it's primarily a biographical narrative. The account is chronologically progressive and straightforward. Now, let's start reading that very first chapter, the very first verse. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. What we see here is that Nineveh, it was a great city, the Lord referred to it as, and certainly it was a very great city. It was the famed capital of the world empire of Assyria, an empire that stood for 300 years. It was located 280 miles north of Babylon and was called the Robber City because it robbed and overran other countries for the purpose of enriching itself. As a nation, it was brutally militaristic. It was hated by other peoples of Western Asia. Proud Assyria represented heathen defiance against God. They were doing that which was right in their own eyes, and they were just desiring acquisition and fame and prestige, and they would countenance no rebellion. And so this is who they were in brief. But let me now read that third verse. Listen to what happens after Jonah receives the word of the Lord. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He definitely did not like that command from God, and we're going to understand why as we go into this. And Tarshish is actually, Tartessus in southwestern Spain, and it was the most remote of the Phoenician trading places which were known in that presently known world. And so, before I go any further, let's kind of give a synopsis or an overview of what the book states and shares. First of all, we see in that first chapter that Jonah receives a command from the Lord, and he evades that divine command which was to go to Nineveh by going to in the opposite direction. He's going to Tarsus, which is probably in southwest Spain, but he is overtaken by the Lord, and because of his disobedience, he experiences a subsequent punishment. And so when Jonah humbles himself, he prays and seeks deliverance, he finds God even in the depths of the sea, in the belly of the whale, reminiscent of Psalm 139 and 10, those beautiful words which declare, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Then, in response to Jonah's entreaties, we see that he is delivered, and then he subsequently obeys the Lord's command, his commission. And Jonah proceeds in obedience the second time with his message of warning to Nineveh. And then, of course, amazingly, Nineveh repents and judgment is averted. And then we see in the fourth chapter that Jonah is desperately disappointed at the success of his own mission. He laments the repentance of the Ninevites, and because they were enemies, and I'll go into that a little more thoroughly. And he is rebuked by the Lord, and he's taught a lesson in divine love and mercy. So that's an overview of the book of Jonah. And so what we want to do is focus on what lessons can we learn from this. Because, you know, regardless of how mightily used we may be used of God, regardless of how great one's ministry might be, there's a great distinction between the calling and the gifts of God that he gives to his people and the character of a man or a woman. And there's a disparity. The anointing, the gifts are given by God. They're without repentance. God doesn't give something and then take it back as far as his giftings are concerned. But it is up to us, our personal daily walk, our cooperation with the Holy Spirit, that enables us to develop a Christ-like character. And beloved, that's the purpose, really, of everything you're going through. Even at this moment, you might say, I can't see anything positive happening out of what I'm going through, Sister Glass. Well, you may not, and I may not, but God has his purposes in it. He will use all things together for our good, but the ultimate purpose is, you know, I mean, what's the point of salvation? When you die, you're going to be with Jesus, or if he tarries, we'll be raptured to be with him. But the fact of the matter is, we're going to spend eternity with him and with the redeemed saints of God. And so there is going to be a maturing process in his perfect love, that we will become perfect and without spot or wrinkle, even as the scriptures declare. Well, that's where we're headed, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow as we begin to look at the first of the spiritual lessons that are to be learned from this book. I so appreciate and thank God for my UCM partners for their faithful prayer support as well as their financial giving. And if you'd like to be part of my spiritual family, if God's tugging on your heart, I invite you to write. Let me know you're being blessed by the broadcast. Share those prayer requests, and I'll be privileged to send back to you a personal word from the Lord. Thank you for listening, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.